This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Long time listener and supporter of you because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
That's right, Monday, 8:20, Vern joins the show that we call Fesco and Dusty, and then it is your home for Kansas City sports, Vern. Back home tonight, the people are probably going to be more excited than they were when they left the last time because these boys are rolling. They're 11-2 in their last 13. They're starting to hit the ball a little bit better, 4.3 runs in that 13-game span. And boy, has Michael Garcia been great. But I have to ask you, Vern, how long did it take you to realize that your hand is going to be okay after shaking Jack Caglione's?
Well, he didn't hurt me.
Oh, he destroyed my hand.
Yeah, no.
I'm just
No, he, he's a monster. He's a huge dude, but no, there was no pain inflicted. Was he trying to stunt on you guys? Was he letting you know that he was there?
No, he was just, he just showed up at the typical pregame, you know, the shorts, the socks rolled down.
I mean, when you brought up the handshake, I mean, did was he trying to
No.
Flex with the handshake?
No, I think it's just his normal grip.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think it's just, that's just a man child. Good hell. And then, of course, put one on top of the building in front of us and gave us the salute. So, my curse is...
So you guys are friends now? Is that... This is just a long way to say that you're friends with Jack Caglione?
Yeah, we're pretty much boys, man. Like, you know, we're...
Nice.
We're pretty much boys, man. Like, I don't know. Maybe he'll invite me to his wedding. He is engaged.
Well, it'll certainly pay off because the crowds of people that used to swarm Eric Hosmer... Jack Caglione could have this entire city eating out of his hand. He has all the talent in the world and personality for days.
Well, and that's the key right there, the personality for days. I mean, Bobby is going to be the greatest player in this generation, right. Obviously, right. But that doesn't mean Jack Caglione can't be the most loved, if you will, because Dusty did bring it up kind of with that Haas type of mentality. And look, Haas was the leader of this whole operation for, you know, 6 years that he was here. That was the guy. Jack Caglione can be that guy, can he, and still have Bobby be the best player on the team?
Certainly. Now, I haven't been around Cags enough to know his personality as far as leadership is concerned, right? Being around him in spring training, he was, he's always seen, but he was seen, not heard. He's a rookie in a big league camp, so he kind of got in where he fit in. But, you know, once he gets his feet wet at the big league level, has a little bit of success, then we'll have the opportunity to see what type of true leader he was, Eric Hosmer. One of the best that we've been around. And, you know, Vinny, Salvi right now are doing a tremendous job inside of that clubhouse. Mm-hmm. During that elongated offensive funk, you didn't see Vinny or Michael Massey or Jonathan India hanging their heads, pointing fingers, feeling bad for themselves. They were celebrating the wins, giving credit to the pitching staff, and confident that their group would turn it around. That, as Dusty mentioned with the numbers, the offense certainly looking like it's turning it around.
You know, also, too, with this team and the way that they're, you know, starting to win some games and get above 500, you know, it starts to, all right, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Who are we going to go after? And now you start to look at, you know, kind of an outfield bat. Michael Garcia, I said last week, second best player on this team. Obviously, Drew Waters is playing really good right now. You got Isbell playing good, but you still need a bat on this team. Have you heard anything yet, some names that we can maybe start looking at to acquire that could help this team later in the season?
No, I mean, nothing other than the usual names that are expiring contracts or names that the Royals have showed interest in the past. Again, just flipping the calendar to May, we're still, what, 3 months away from the trade deadline, still a month and a half away from even the uber-aggressive J.J. Piccolo, I think, from, you know, pulling the trigger, as we've seen already in the first 35 games. You know, Drew Waters within your own organization comes up and really sense getting that boost of confidence, finding out that I'm staying in the big leagues, that MJ Melendez is the guy being sent down. Waters is hitting .333 with an OPS north of 900. So I think you continue to see what you have in house. I had a caller last night dial me up and yeah, for a nice win. When are they getting rid of Hunter Dozier? I know, or not Hunter Dozier, Hunter Renfroe. He asks, well, I know he's hitting
fair
a little bit better of late, but when are we getting rid of Hunter Renfroe? And you know, my response was, well, he can't be hitting. You know, you can't overlook him doing the things that you want him to do. So, you know, not to mention the money that he's still making. So, I think we got to get at least a little bit deeper into May before we start talking about replacing players. Now, as far as a specific name, you know, I heard you mention Taylor Ward, Luis Roberts on an expiring contract in Chicago, and we all know how well those two front offices work together. And we also know that the Royals, in my opinion, as it stands right now, we're going to hold all the cards going into that deadline on July 31st because they have, as of right now, knock on wood, quite a bit of big league pitching depth. You know, we saw Noah Cameron come up here and throw take a no-hitter into the seventh inning. Michael Lorenzen, despite the four home runs that he gave up yesterday, is still putting up numbers comparable with any number five starter in Major League Baseball. Kyle Wright looked good in his rehab assignment on Friday, getting up to 60 pitches. You know, his contribution at the big league level might not be all that far away, not to mention all of the minor league pitching talent that you have. So when you have pitching and the deadline's approaching, you call the shots. And with a front office that's already aggressive, an owner that I think is already done with what a wild card team looks like, I think he wants a division title now. I have no reason to believe that they won't. Just like they did last year to acquire Lucas Hursek, part with the pitching prospect to possibly bring in that middle of the lineup bat, along with a Jack Caglione. You know, if you could throw a Cags and a trade acquisition into this lineup in the second half of the season with Michael Garcia, with Drew Waters, and the big four at the top, man, now we're talking about a division title type of offense.
Vern, 19-16, the record the Boys in Blue have currently. I said today, I don't think they'll be under 500 for the rest of the year. Partially because their next four series, they play right. Four teams that have one team, a 500 or better record, and that team is the Houston Astros, one game above it. Obviously, Boston at 500. We don't need to talk about the White Sox, but three games above 500. I don't think four out of four is a stretch against the White Sox, and then, you know, move on and take care of business elsewhere. But I think there's some truth to that. They may not fall under 500 the rest of the year.
Yeah, I hope you're right. And yeah, it's sound logic. Cole Reagans returns to the hill, followed by Lugo, Waka, and Bubich going up against that Chicago White Sox team. You certainly want three of four if you're calling for the sweep. I'm all about it. But yeah, you look at the next 13 games, four with Chicago, three against the Red Sox, a trio in Houston, and then three against the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, you look at this homestand and you want obviously a winning homestand, a five-win homestand. And then I look at the Houston, the St. Louis series, give me another three wins there. So an 8-5 stretch going into that big series in San Francisco against a very well-rounded Giants team. Yeah, that would put them six games above 500. And with this pitching staff, yeah, certainly no reason to think that they'll dip below 500 again. But, you know, you're always one injury away, one, elongated pitching funk away. For as good as the offense has been, keep it up, right? Keep it up on this homestand. Continue to instill confidence in guys that have been laying their head on the pillow over the first month of the season, beating themselves up because of their lack of contribution. I can't imagine how much fun that plane ride back from Baltimore was when a guy like Vinny, India, Massey, three of the most disappointing bats in the first month of the season, they all go bridge in that game. I can't imagine there was anybody on that plane yesterday not necessarily deep down feeling the celebration. Everyone contributed to, if not yesterday's 11-6 victory, everyone has contributed to this stretch in which they've won 11 of 13. So you know the confidence is sky high. They know who's in the other dugout, but, you know, this team, to me, has a clear-eyed focus now. You know, I think the fan base should reflect that. Chest out, eyes forward.
Yep.
With the eyes focused on the Detroit Tigers and climbing to the top of this division.
Vern, is this considered a minor league rehab start tonight for Cole Reagan since he's going against the White Sox?
It might be, but it does count towards his big league service time. So,
okay.
No, we're not going to call it a rehab assignment.
Is it fair for me last week saying Garcia is the second best player on this team right now?
Yeah, that's certainly fair. Listen, I remember I had a scout tell me that Drew Waters was going to be a $100 million player because he can do everything on the field, right? He's a five-tool player, and we're seeing that since he got back to the big leagues. But Michael Garcia, I was diving into the numbers yesterday. Okay, so his batting average, .319, is top 15 in Major League Baseball. So he hits for average. Power-wise, on average, he hits the ball harder per swing than anybody in baseball. So he hits for average. He hits for power. We all know about that cannon right arm when he's over there at third base. Defensively, StatCast says he's one of the 25 best defensive infielders in the game. Not third baseman, but shortstop, second base. So he.
And I was going to go one step further, Vern, and even say that I think next to Bobby, he's your best infielder on this team. And now you've got the numbers to match it up, too.
And throw in base running. I know he got off to a rough start this season, but last year he was statistically, according to FanGraphs, one of the five best base runners in the game. So he can run, he can throw, he can field, he can hit for average, and he can hit for power. That's the next guy you pay. That's a $100 million athlete right there. If you can play shortstop and do everything else, yeah, you are a terrifically well-rounded five-tool player, and it just so happens he's lining up next to the best five-tool player on the planet. No, you're 100% right, and boy, is it fun to watch this dude. Just swagger, confidence, craves the big moments, and the way this team's playing, there'll be plenty of big moments coming up.
You mentioned Drew Waters, too, being a $100 million player. It's nice to know how a guy can perform when he's not worried about being sent back down to the minor leagues, you know? And I don't think Drew Waters has to worry about that, but we're finally seeing him. It's funny with guys like him and Garcia, Vern, you know, like there are guys, they've been here for a while. It doesn't feel like it's that exciting, but we should be excited about this. These are two minor league guys that you've kind of had in your system for a while now that have come up and are producing at the big league level and taking the pressure off some of these guys that haven't been producing. Drew Waters has been a great call up for this team.
That two-run, two-out RBI knock on a changeup low and away yesterday to put the Royals ahead was... I mean, he's swinging through that every single at-bat of his career prior to this season, and it's a great point as far as when you have that belief breathed into you by your organization, right? The first time, really, since they acquired Drew Waters, when they sent MJ Melendez down, that was really the first time this organization has told him with their actions, we believe in you. It's a lot like Ryan O'Hearn, who we just saw in Baltimore. You know, Mike Matheny said all of the right things about how we believe in Ryan O'Hearn, and then he never put him in the lineup. Used him as a pinch hitter, as a platoon bat, never really had that belief breathed into him by the organization. Baltimore's done that, and now, you know, Ryan O'Hearn's taken off, and I think everybody in Kansas City, it's always funny with Bro Hearn. Even when he beats him on Friday, everyone's like, well... And, Dusty, I think you even tweeted it, and it had to be O'Hearn. If you're going to lose to someone, let it be Bro Hearn, because I think he's, like Drew Waters, a reflection of just how far confidence and belief from your boss, just how far that can carry you.
Vern, I want to have this conversation real quickly because I don't think I'm being egregious here when it comes to Caglione. Like, I think it's time for Omaha. Am I wrong?
No. Okay. It's hard to argue. And I think the actions of the organization say the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. He plays right field in back-to-back days this weekend, and it really looks like he's just setting up, standing up at the box, ready to do damage. And, you know, just watching the at-bats this weekend, it did seem as if he was overmatching these pitchers. So, yeah, you want to bump him up to Omaha, you're not going to hear any complaints.
Does he get up to the big league level, though, this year, or are we still slow playing that one?
Well, if he dominates AAA, yeah. I mean, if he could put up a 1,000 OPS and make their pitching look silly, and there's a spot for him at the big league level, most certainly. Yeah. I think him and a trade acquisition could lengthen this lineup to a place where it can stack up with the best of the best in the American League. And that's, of course, so long as everyone can stay healthy, especially those top four. Salvi. Less than a week away from his 35th birthday, that hip starting to bark, and I can't imagine that stuff is going to happen less as the months go by. So, honestly, as the season goes by, I'd like to see someone push Salvi for that number four spot in the lineup. If you could drop him, have less pressure on the captain to carry the team at 35 while he's also catching, that would be ideal. So maybe that's your trade acquisition, is a guy to maybe drop Salvi to that five spot, and then Cags can come in and start maybe hitting in the six or seven spot.
Vern, what level of like stupid as an awesome thing is currently happening with Aaron Judge and that batting average?
Yeah, well, it was 432 yesterday. I knew it was up there.
He has
there.
Almost a 100-point lead over the guy who's number two.
Is it still? Yeah.
He's like at 423 and Goldschmidt's at like 347. I've never seen a discrepancy like that.
No. I mean, well, I guess I don't know what the on-base percentage was for Bonds back in 01. I'm sure there was a wild discrepancy there, but he was also cheating. And for every reason why we love Bobby, Aaron Judge is cut from that same cloth as far as just being a good dude, a great ambassador for the game, and one of the greatest hitters we've ever seen, certainly the best hitter of our generation and maybe the best since Albert Pujols. It's wild that the batting average is that high, and I don't think the average sports fan is really aware of it. Honestly, I think outside of New York, sports fans are tired of Aaron Judge, to be quite honest. Maybe I'm alone in that, but I just haven't heard enough talk about, like you said, a crazy statistic that when I was a kid would have been front page news more days than not.
I think the problem with Aaron Judge is pretty simple. He doesn't win when it matters most, and people are tired of the regular season stuff, you know?
And that's fair. He did blow it last October.
I mean, the fifth inning alone. My dad gets, sends my sister and I stuff all the time. Look what Judge is doing. My sister always responds back on the family thread, and she goes, do it in October. Don't care till October. And there's something to be said for that, man. That's when legends are made in baseball. Like, I was reading something about the Chiefs today, and they were talking about their offensive tackle, Simmons. They're like, he may not come back till January, but that's when the Chiefs season begins anyway. So, like,
100%,
you've got to do it in the postseason to be considered one of these great
uniform.
Players. Yeah.
No
in
doubt.
That uniform, especially. Yeah.
Yeah. With when the Royals were in New York, I'm going to a commercial break and I posed the question, does anyone hate Aaron Judge? And during the commercial break, someone on the text line says, the only people that hate Aaron Judge are Yankees fans in October. I think that's correct.
That's a great line, Vern. That is fantastic.
Vern,
well, that was my line. It wasn't a texter. You know what? I'll take it.
Right, you take credit for that. That's really good.
What's what we got giving away tonight on the pitch clock?
Yeah. Brady Singer, Ellie De La Cruz, and the Cincinnati Reds coming to town later this month. I have tickets to the Tuesday game, the Wednesday game. I'll let the contestant pick which game they go to if they win. So be listening tonight for the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30.
Also, Alex is still salty. They pulled Bubic after 76 pitches because he needed one more strikeout.
He should be.
Yeah.
He needed one more punch out, and he would have hit a big old parlay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Vern. Well, we'll have you on tonight. Hopefully, these guys can sweep these White Sox and just continue to stay above 500.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
You bet. Josh Vernier there, our Royals insider here on 96.5 The Fan. They play the White Sox tonight. Bob, I'm with you, man. I think a sweep is what you're going for.
Yeah, you have to go for a sweep of this series, right? You don't get many opportunities to face teams that aren't very good. Go back last week. It was Colorado, right? Everybody came in here thinking, okay, if you take two out of three. No, it wasn't good enough to take two out of three from Colorado. Just like it's not good enough to take just three out of four from the White Sox. This is a team right now that just isn't a very good team. I think they have 10 wins on the year right now.
10 and 24.
Right? 10 and 24. They're not playing great baseball. These are the opportunities to separate yourself, because you know Cleveland and you know Detroit aren't wasting these opportunities, and Cleveland and Detroit are ahead of you in the standings right now. Not that that matters. It's May. Nothing of that mindset matters at this point in time, but what matters are those games in front of you. And when you have an opportunity to play against the White Sox, you got to take advantage of that opportunity, because eventually it's going to turn around. You're going to have three against the Yankees, or you're going to have three against, you know, the Red Sox, or three against some good team that'll be coming up, and you'll look back and go, damn, I wish we would have just swept the White Sox. And so go out there and sweep the White Sox. That's the goal. That's not an overachieving goal. That's not me thinking, oh my God, this is craziness. They're the White Sox. They're not good. You're the Royals. You're a good baseball team. Go out there and take advantage and feast on this.